This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, we are, and Ron Hughley is out today. That's right, the show is still in Disney World. And Sean Bajani, who you typically hear in the late evening hours, getting nasty when it doesn't matter as much, right?
When they don't put them
rails on you, you can just say whatever the hell you want to say.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Bajani's in the building today, 2 to 6, y'all. And T-Mill, a tad bit nasally. When I was in person, I didn't get the nasal, but when you chimed in right there to Lopez, tad bit nasally, I can tell you had a little bit of dirty water last night.
I'll take a tad bit nasally.
What'd you go with last night, T? What was it? I know it was dirty water. Which one?
It was Maker's 46 on the rocks.
Oh, why is it when I hear somebody that's drinking Maker's, I think of like turkey in the old days. Like, this is hard. This is going hard in the paint. It's not TX, it's not Crown, it's not something that's just kind of one of them, like, maybe have a little sweeter touch to it.
Handcrafted.
Like you're going for something that tastes like you just licked old Big Earn's ashtray back
then. Oh, it's no.
Something that's just going to hurt you.
I mean, Maker's isn't like my go-to, and I don't usually have it at the Casa or anything, but whenever I'm out and about, I know it's one they'll have behind the bar, and I think it's smooth.
Just something you can sip on a little bit.
I'm no connoisseur, fellas. I'm just telling you, like, for whatever reason, when I hear Maker's Mark and Jim Beam, I feel like my dad back in the day when he's drinking at a Wild Turkey.
Yeah, turkey, man.
I feel like that's just going to hurt you, man. Boy, I tell you, but it's good to have you boys here today. Everybody wants to pile on Tyler. Oh, Bajani's ass was off in that Kirby Ice House last night. Trying to eat a steak at midnight, too.
Yeah, and Patrick Creighton and Chris Santiago. And while I'm thinking about it, shout out to our guys Andrew and PK who met us out and said they listen every day, love the show. It was great to meet you guys. It was a great night.
PK's in from Norway for the second time in like 3 weeks. He came in 3 weeks ago just to see our ass. Why, we don't know. But we're glad that he did.
Talk about deep pockets, son.
Yeah.
And, Norway's a bit away.
Deep pockets and a lot of free time, baby. Oh. Likes to travel. That's on his old MySpace page, right?
Yeah.
It was deep pockets, likes to travel, free time. Who wants some?
And he's married.
Well, it worked for him. See, MySpace worked for him, so maybe it's not in his bio anymore. Yeah. All right, as I said, Sean Bajani is to my left. T-Mill is behind the glass on the ones and twos. Big shout out to Ron Hughley. Hope he's making some big time memories with his family, as I've said every day, because I damn sure hope he is. I got kids now. I got a different love for making memories with the fam. I hope Ron's out there doing just that. I'm sure he is. All the help that Ron has, he took with him to Disney World, by the way. He got in-laws, he got his mom, he got all kind of help. So don't nobody think that Ron's out there getting too many steps in now and not partaking in some adult beverages, because I know he damn sure is.
He's somewhere right now kicked back with some strawberry frozen adult beverage
No doubt. Frozen in some bright color, probably pink or purple. There's no question about it. All right, y'all, on the Texans front, man, we got a little bit of movement once again, man. There's a couple of things with the Houston Texans right now that I think it's pretty easy to look into the crystal ball and say is going to happen in the future. I think there's two of them. For me, there he is. I don't know if y'all agree, but there's two of them. I think one was a Christian Kirk restructure to create some level of cap space. And then I think there's going to be a big move at some point in time, whether it's a free agent they find that really turns us on, or it's a trade of some kind that brings in an interior offensive lineman. I think those two things are damn sure going to happen. Well, one of them already has. The Christian Kirk restructure has happened, and it cleared up a lot more cap space than I thought, fellas. It cleared up $12 million in cap space, and basically what they did was convert the $16+ million base salary, which none of it was guaranteed. They converted $14 million of that into a bonus, and then spread it out over this year and four more years, which he's not under contract. You know, four of the 5 years that he's got the damn near $3 million bonus he's going to be due. So they'll deal with that next year. Hopefully Christian Kirk plays well, gets a little bit of an extension here. Boom, the cap relief is good to go moving forward, and it never accelerates the cap. The problem with all that is, if it ever comes a time when you cut or part ways with Christian Kirk, the dead cap hit is all that money accelerates the year you cut him.
Yeah.
So it's going to hit the cap big time if indeed Christian Kirk doesn't play well and it ends up being one of them old one-year deals. But
hopefully it doesn't happen, but if it does, it's maybe a good 3 years down the road.
Yeah, look, I think Christian Kirk's got some tread left on the tire. I think he's I really do, Bajani. I don't know how much y'all have talked about on Area 45, but I just think this year's Texans offense, when it's all said and done, is going to be a little bit more wide receiver specific. Like, this guy's an inside slot receiver, this guy's an outside receiver, instead of, hey man, all of our guys do everything. We heard that a million times from Bobby Slowick, right? You got Tank Dell inside on a goal line blocking inside the box for some reason. Like those kind of things, I hope we're getting away from them. And if you look at what the Texans are kind of leaning more towards, that New England Brady way of running offense, they always had a true slot. I think Christian Kirk probably fits into that.
Yeah.
He's playing opposite Nico Collins, so it's not like the expectations are for Christian Kirk to go out there and give you 1,000 yards. So, I mean, Christian Kirk would have to get injured or, like, have 20 catches on the season to be a disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, really, to be honest with you at this point in time. So, I knew that the restructure was coming, Bajani, but I didn't know it was going to clean up this much cap space. That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, according to Over the Cap, Texans have $13.1 million in cap space available after the restructure.
Yep.
Now, you made a great point, and I'm with you on this one. You could check Over the Cap. You could check Texans Cap on Twitter. You could check four or five different other resources. They all update at different times, and they're all probably going to have different numbers. It's one of those fluid things that is frustrating. Yeah. It doesn't always make a lot of sense, but this number seems to make the most sense because it's with the way that the restructures worked. And if it frees up $12 million, the last number that I saw from Texans Cap, it was a few days ago. It was right around $1 or $2 million, I think, if memory serves me right. And he's very accurate, Texan Cap is. Shout out to him. But it takes him a little bit. You know, that's not what he does. He didn't just sit around and wait for Texans to make moves so he can update the numbers. He has a job.
Right.
So he does that. But here's something interesting that you just said real quick. The way that you describe the Texans wide receiver core and how you think they are designing this to be more specific, you know, like an inside guy and an outside guy, and they're not going to be asked to move all over the place. One of my biggest concerns right now for the Texans' offensive line is not just in the current state that it is in, which is, in all caps, incomplete, but they have a whole bunch of guys that have done a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Lakin Tomlinson's been a left guard and a right guard. You know, your right tackle has been a left guard. Like, you have a lot of interior linemen right now, and I don't know that you have but maybe one tackle, and his name is Blake Fisher, and you don't know if he's going to be on the right side or the left side. There's not one position on that offensive line that you can say, yep, that dude's playing there.
See, this is where you and I are going to disagree. I like Titus Howard at left tackle. I like him at left tackle.
I do too.
I did not realize that there was such, it was 3 years ago, but I did not realize that there was such a large sample size. I'd forgotten all about how much he played left tackle back in the day. Mm-hmm. 250 plus snaps, which is best snaps as a pro, for being completely honest. But I say that to say also, I feel like if Titus Howard or Blake Fisher, I think those are your two tackles, if either one of those guys become a problem, anywhere remotely close to what we had this year in terms of a protection issue, that's on Nick Caley. It is simple. They've been doing it for eons, for 30 plus years, 40, 50 years of worth of NFL football, they've been helping tackles schematically with chips and tight ends. Now, if you can't get your tight ends to chip no better than they did, than Dalton Schultz ass did last year, that's on you. That's on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Right? If you can't get somebody other than Joe Mixon in the backfield that you trust in pass protection and can light somebody's ass up, then that's on you as you build this roster, and that's on you as a running backs coach. So I'm not worried about the tackles. It's that interior offensive line, which is a dead horse that we are beating until I'm going to continue to beat until they get somebody in here. But the pushback that I have on that is I feel better than I probably should and better than most with Titus Howard at left tackle.
I agree with you, but we don't know that that's going to be the case.
Fair, very fair.
You know, I mean, you look at least what I reference for a depth chart, you know, on a yearly basis, mm-hmm. in season, out of season, our lads, they don't have Titus Howard, you know, at left tackle. They have Titus Howard as a right tackle. They have Blake Fisher at left tackle. They have Jarrett Patterson at center. They have Laken Tomlinson at left guard, and they have Juice Scruggs at right guard. And I think that's probably the way a lot of people would draw it up if you had to play football today or on Sunday. However, I would do the flipperooski and put Titus at left tackle and keep Blake at what I thought he did pretty good at, which is at right tackle last year for a couple games.
If you look at it, Sean, too, I mean, if you go just, which I think there's still moves, I think there's draft picks, which, by the way, they're not a draft pick away from being better on the offensive line. I think they're a veteran move and a draft pick away from being better. But I mean, if you look at the way these guys are moving right now with this offensive line,
yeah,
I mean, you can argue that they're going to try to take a tackle early in this draft.
Yes, sir.
And then at the guard position, you're going to have Juice, Titus, and the two new dudes all fighting for them guard positions. Mm-hmm. Although I don't like that. I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea at all. But at that point, assuming who you draft that left tackle position and how he plays, I could see you being better than you were last year. Simply because your interior, your interior is going to be just all four of those guys are better than what you had last year inside there.
Yes. I mean, that's... Because we here, it's just the fear of the unknown, right? Because the guys that you're getting in, Laken Tomlinson, who's the other fella that they signed? Ed Ingram. That guy looks like an absolute pain in the ass.
They're both physical as hell now. They're both going to be a different brand of offensive lineman than what we've had here before.
But you look at those statistics, according to PFF, and the sacks allowed from Ed Ingram, the amount of pressures. Two straight years, I think he was 10th and 9th, respectively, mm-hmm. in pressure rate allowed at his position, as in the most. That's not good.
Yeah.
You know? And so, if these guys aren't good pass protectors, and you wipe the slate clean because you need good pass protectors, mm-hmm. but you brought in guys that are suspect at that, well, I don't know what the hell we're doing. I do, oddly enough, feel really good about the confidence level that Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Cayley, Cole Popovich all together have had in saying, you know what? We got to overhaul this thing. We got to blow this up.
Yeah.
I trust, for whatever reason, what they're doing. And I think it has everything to do with how the last 2 years have gone, but just how hell-bent D'Amico Ryans continues to be on creating the biggest and baddest defense in the league. That gives me confidence in this team.
When we hired D'Amico Ryans, I said, look, the one thing that has to happen is you got to be a top defense year in, year out when you hire a defensive-minded head coach. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go that route, then you better have a defense that can win games for you. And I'll be damned if D'Amico hasn't done that. And if he's not looking at it. I mean, you've added a handful of players to this roster this year. Mm-hmm. Your top two players you've added have been on the defensive side of the football. Depending on how much you like Christian Kirk. I mean, I like Sheldon Rankins on that defensive line. When we last saw Sheldon Rankins, if he can bring anywhere close to what he brought us in 2023, I like Sheldon Rankins more than Christian Kirk. Again, now if Christian goes out there and he's a top slot in the league, it changes the story. But right now, you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Sheldon Rankins. I think those are the two best adds this year, and they're both on the defensive side of the football where you're already great.
Yeah, because there's no questions about them. Yeah. One, you know personally, mm-hmm. Sheldon Rankins. You know exactly what that guy can do. Now, granted, hey, he missed a whole bunch of games last year, but, you know, viral meningitis, I mean, that's not a soft tissue injury.
PEDs, viral meningitis, well, you know. I mean, we had guys missing for PEDs here, and he got sick.
But I'll take all of that, with the exception of, like, a ruptured Achilles and a, you know, torn calf muscle, all that stuff. Yeah. The problem is... Christian Kirk, broken collarbone last year. Broken bone, it'll heal, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's got injury issues prior to that. You know, now he's had two really good durable seasons a couple of years ago. But prior to that, you know, I think the most games he played was, you know, 13, 14 here and there on a season. The guy's going to get banged up. You have a lot of receivers that get banged up. Nico Collins going to miss a handful of games. Christian Kirk bound to miss a handful of games. You need really good quality depth in the receiver core. That is one of my chief concerns, not the chief concern, but it's up there in terms of how not confident I am in the Texans offense specific. And there are layers to that.
All right. That is Sean Bajani. He's in for Ryan Hughley. T Mills. He is here today, folks. He was not in a steakhouse. He was in a sports bar that had a steak night, which he missed, by the way.
Teasing us.
Hey, he's an old night owl, man. Ain't no big deal. He is a party. That's right. Dusty and Tyler wholeheartedly believes in that right there. But we got a good show lined up for y'all. We greatly appreciate you tuning in any way that you do, whichever AM, FM dial, YouTube, Twitch, on that old text line over there. Bajani's got that thing pulled up, so go ahead and get to cussing me all you'd like. And we appreciate it if you download that Audacy app, AUDACY. If you've already downloaded, we greatly appreciate that. Tell your friends about it. Make sure you stay plugged in right there. Whether you're listening live or you're checking out the pod, everything's podcasted. You can find it all on the Audacy app at Sports Radio 610. Log in and let's ride. We greatly appreciate it. Again, Audacy app, AUDACY. Boys, we've got some Astros action. Astros, they first pitch tonight. At 5:05, I say tonight, I guess that's this evening, not tonight, at 5:05 versus the Blue Jays. Right now there is a spring breakout game going on versus the Nats, which for those of y'all that are like me, you don't have a clue what the hell that is. That's essentially a prospect game. All the Astros' top prospects are playing. I don't know if all of them are, but the majority, I know the top four are for damn sure.
Go Astros.
Are playing. I hear you, Ma. They're playing in that spring breakout game, and then you got the Blue Jays tonight at 5:05. And the Rockets. The Rockets also, the Mavs tonight at the Toyota Center, 7:00 tonight. These Rockets, man, they've won, what is it now? Is it four or five straight, boys? Four in a row with, five games to go that they should be, games they should win. Let's put it to you that way. Versus the schedule is not very ripe over the next, five games here. So, the Rockets can have a little bit of movement in the West standings and they can, a little easier path to kind of figure out what the hell they're doing as they get guys healthier here. Again, I'm still on that. I don't know what in the hell is going on offensively. I know what they're doing defensively, and I absolutely love it. But offensively, it just depends on what night you turn the TV on. I know you're going to get Jalen Green shots. I know Green's going to get some shots up. But, Tyler, I think we learned something doing radio with B. Scott over the last couple of weeks. I'm through betting points on anybody other than Jalen Green.
Right.
I'm through betting points on anybody other than Jalen Green.
Appreciate you offering some guidance there, Skeezy.
Yeah, that was big. We greatly appreciate that. All right, let's shoot up 45 real quick, y'all. All my Cowboy fans out there or Cowboy haters out there, you're going to want to hear this either way it goes. This is why, man. This is why the Cowboys have not in forever and will not exceed expectations. Winning the playoffs, being another NFC championship, and compete for another Super Bowl. No matter what they do with the roster, no matter what the hell Jerry does in free agency in the draft, it just ain't going to happen. I'll explain next.
Weak ass Cowboys.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani of Area 45 is in. By the way, man, if we appreciate you listening out there, make sure you stay plugged in after Texans All Access every night to hear Area 45. These guys are kicking ass, man, and they take it very, very serious, and they know they got Tyler waiting on them at 11 to hit the old bar, and so they are amped the longer the show goes on. But make sure you stay plugged in.
Not tonight, though.
Make sure you stay plugged in with those guys.
Always ready.
There ain't no doubt about that. He is always ready. All right, look, all my Cowboys fans out there, we got to have a conversation. The response when stuff like this happens is always, it always fascinates me. Not from the fan base, the Texans fan base or the Cowboys fan base, to be honest with you. I'm talking about just the guys like ourselves that are paid in the media to generate angles and figure out a way to attack something. And the thought of I've heard it multiple times this morning from Cowboys fans is boy, man, y'all ought to be stoked about Micah Parsons. Y'all ought to love Micah Parsons standing up for the organization. Man, get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here with all that. This is exactly why the Dallas Cowboys will not exceed expectations.
What's your point?
Will McClay and Jerry and Steven and all those guys, they're going to pay these free agents that they have to keep some of them. They're going to put a roster together. They've done it multiple times since they've won Super Bowls back in the 90s. They put several great rosters together, and it's just one of them that you just always end up falling a little bit short of expectations.
You didn't know my schedule.
Well, Jerry, I mean, I love your schedule, for one. I was always on your schedule, and I absolutely appreciate it. But this is the kind of stuff to me that just gives us out here watching just a little peek behind the curtain of what really goes on in Dallas. Now, Tank Lawrence, a former D lineman for the Cowboys for quite a while, some would say that, you know, his time in Dallas was a disappointment. I don't know that he ever lived up to the expectations, although they were absolutely through the roof. And he was a free agent. The Cowboys didn't re-up him, and he signed with the Seattle Seahawks. And it looks like, I don't know exactly who he's talking to in this audio, but if I had it, look, he's inside an indoor facility. I believe he's in Seattle. And I think he's talking to either a member of the Seattle media or a member of the Seattle Seahawks, not PR, but communications, and their media team, if you will. Either way it goes, it's irrelevant. Here's what DeMarcus Lawrence had to say, in just a basic little old welcome to Seattle kind of interview.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
We're here. DeMarcus Lawrence, welcome to the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us.
All right, so you hear that from DeMarcus Lawrence. And
I love the music.
The interesting thing here for me, guys, is like, why is that on anybody's radar? Like, who gives a rip what DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy that you didn't want, a guy that underachieved when he was here, a guy that is now in Seattle, which shouldn't even be on the radar of the Cowboys, not in the division. I don't know why it matters so much. But we are living in a day and age where no matter where you're at, media and comments and tweets and all that will jump on your doorstep on social media from any and everywhere. So as you could imagine, Cowboys Twitter saw this immediately, right? And this is where I don't have a problem with what DeMarcus Lawrence said. DeMarcus Lawrence put it a lot more nicely than everybody in the media world has been putting it for multiple years now.
Well, when he said you ain't going to win a Super Bowl there?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, not wrong. We've been saying that for two decades.
He's not wrong. He wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he's not wrong saying that, right? That is what everybody in the media and everybody that's not a current Dallas Cowboy player is saying. In fact, hell, you can argue that when asked about his contract and his next contract, the big boy contract that Micah Parsons is going to get, I mean, he mentioned, like, yeah, if they're going to sign people, I don't mind taking a team-friendly deal. Like, he's even alluding to it but not saying it, right? But he is a Cowboy, so I guess he can do that.
Here's
where the thing comes in. The problem comes in for me. Micah Parsons feels a need to pick up his phone and quote tweet the video of Tank Lawrence saying what you just heard.
Oh, no.
And the tweet is this from Micah Parsons. This is what rejection and envy look like. This is some clown-ish with the little clown head after it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's stop right there. I'll continue on because Tank responded. Tank responded, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. Okay, now they're getting a little bit back and forth.
Yeah.
But here's the gist. Here's the gist of this thing for me, Bijani. We're not talking about a diva receiver and a defensive end on the other side of the ball that you could see probably never didn't speak a whole lot. Like if they didn't jive, they weren't really good friends off the field, probably didn't speak a lot. So they're kind of out of pocket here.
Right.
This is two guys that played on the same defensive line.
Right.
This is two guys that for Micah Parsons' entire career as a Dallas Cowboy, they were in the same meeting room.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and you can argue maybe Micah Parsons jumped around different meeting rooms because he played so many different positions. Okay, whatever. You get the point is, like, these are two dudes that it would have behooved both of them to be really tight, have great chemistry. I mean, all, you know, be on the same page and be together. And here they are, 24 hours into free agency, hashing it out on social media. To me, that's the problem with the Cowboys, is you got a bunch of dudes that in any given instant where there's a little bit of adversity, they're going to be at each other's throats instead of, like, do you think if Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter left here, do you think one or the other would be attacking the other one on social? Like,
100%.
It just doesn't.
And for one reason and one reason alone, and I would imagine a lot of other successful organizations do this with this in mind and build their program like the Texans have done and are doing. But it's not just about what these players do on a football field. It's about the people that they are, like in the film room and off of the field. Like, they want good dudes and guys that are all swimming in the same direction. That's, to me, been the difference in what the Texans are doing, what a lot of other successful organizations are doing and have done, and what the Dallas Cowboys have not done. Like, in a really long time, most of my adult life, they have not done this. They have collected, they have been like, tried to be like the New York Yankees of the NFL. Just and let's just talent, go get a whole bunch of really talented dudes and never mind trying to make it work and even somewhat, you don't have to like each other, but damn it, you got to respect each other. And I think it's pretty clear that at least for Tank Lawrence and Micah Parsons, the respect level was probably never there when they played together. And it's certainly not now.
This didn't just happen over Twitter.
No, they're not just being keyboard warriors right now.
Yeah, and look, if I'm a Cowboys fan, to hell with the whole I love Micah Parsons clapping back, man. Like, this is a joke. This is like, Micah Parsons is in a spot where, one, I mean, he's going to get paid any way you slice it, but one, he's got to go out there and play well. And two, he's got to go out there and play well so he's not in the same boat as DeMarcus Lawrence is in five more years, talking about, boy, I did all I could, but the Cowboys couldn't put a team around me to win a Super Bowl. Like, Micah Parsons, of all people, that should be the last person worried about what DeMarcus Lawrence is saying. And in my opinion, they should be tight enough from a football perspective, where they're not hashing it out on social media. Yeah. This is,
if I was Micah Parsons,
to have a bad time,
I would have had a one-word response to that video if I saw it on Twitter.
What's that?
Bet.
Yeah, right.
Let's go. It's time to go to work now.
We don't play y'all.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, man.
But that's not who he is.
To me, it's just interesting in how they conduct their businesses. It just seems like all the players have so much else going on. Their attention is everywhere instead of where it needs to be. And it just becomes more and more apparent that Micah Parsons, great player, no doubt about it. But, I mean, his attention needs to be on collectively getting that team to a spot where they can win games, collectively getting that team focused to where they can be one and exceed expectations instead of, again, a collection of talent, but you fall short, right? Yeah. And it all ends up on Dak's shoulders because Dak's a $60 million guy, and Dak's not the leader that everybody wished he would be. It's just
And don't be calling CJ to go on world travels this
offseason. You see CJ on that podcast this offseason because CJ's made it clear. He's trying to get his mind right here. Speaking of CJ, look, the pressure is through the roof this year on CJ Stroud. Through the roof. And the Texans brass over there, they got to do right by the young fella. I'll explain next.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ron Hughley's out. Sean Bajani is in. And I don't know how to compare CJ Stroud to everybody else around the league. Don't really care to, because we're here in Houston and I care about one team, and that's the Texans. Sean, this is a huge year for CJ Stroud. The pressure on CJ Stroud is through the roof. And it really doesn't matter what angle you look at this, right? I mean, you can look at it just from his personal angle. Rookie of the year, first year, all kind of promise, you know, like team over was jumped out of dysfunction immediately. So he's just a superstar.
Yeah.
Exceeded expectations in a major way personally and as a team. And then year two, the team as a whole, driven by the defense really all year long, they're consistency all year long, kind of drove you to a similar space. You can look at it where, hey man, we were a little bit more competitive against the Chiefs this year than we were against the Ravens last year. If that's where you want to see the improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who is C.J. Stroud? Is C.J. Stroud the guy that we saw this year? And look, I understand he was under a lot of pressure, and I get it. But still, there's in the NFL, your great quarterbacks have years where they don't have a great offensive line and they overcome it. Where they have to move around more. They have, you know, there's every year is different. But who is C.J. Stroud? Is he the guy that is more Brady-like, like we saw year one to the tune of a rookie of the year, or is he going to try to be like Joe Burrow with no protection up front, drive the football down the field, take a ton of hits, and not get protected? Right. This is a year where I think year three, there's some maturity there. There's 2 years in the league now. There's experience there. The expectations, generally speaking, I think are going to be high.
Yeah.
Right. And then you look as a team. I mean, you're a 10-win team. You're second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row. The expectations are you play in a bad division. The expectations are to win the division, and the expectations are to get further in the playoffs than what you did this past year.
Yes.
And again, it's fair or foul. This is all true. And now you have got your second offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. In 3 years,
mm-hmm.
right? You've got a whole new offense, which I think the terminology is going to be very similar, but you got a different mind that's putting it all together. So there will be a little bit of difference. There will be a little adjustment period for C.J. Stroud. The receiving core, with the exception of Nico Collins, is going to be totally different. There's just a ton of pressure on C.J. Stroud. It's a contract year, by the way, because really what you want to do after you draft a quarterback is after year three is when these guys are starting to cash in.
Yeah.
And they're cashing in the tune of $60 million a year is what Dak has right now, the highest per year. But if you look at Josh Allen, people are – look, team-friendly deal. He gave up $5 million. He only got $55 million a year.
6 years, 330,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And saw his comments, by the way, the other day. He was like – in so many words, didn't want to break the bank. Wanted to make sure they could spend money to help me out a little bit.
Yeah, you did a team-friendly deal. You gave up $5 million a year on a $330 million contract. Thanks, bud. Appreciate you. But the, you know, the reality of it is for C.J. Stroud, he's either going to make it really, really easy on Nick Caserio and Cal and Hannah McNair to set the market and cash him in, or it's going to be a difficult decision for them.
We might be talking semantics here, but I know you're saying there's a lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud.
Yes, absolutely.
I think there's a lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I don't know that there's as much pressure on C.J. Stroud as I think there is on Nick Haley.
Oh, yeah.
As I think there is on Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, as I think there is on the offensive line in general, because we know. And then granted, look, you're going into year three with CJ.
Yeah.
But we know from his rookie year what this dude looks like with a pretty solid offensive line and some pretty solid offensive weapons. Yeah. We know what
that
looks like.
Yeah.
So like when you tell me that, hey, boy, there's a ton of pressure on CJ Stroud, I think I know what you're saying, but I might be taking it a little the other direction in that, you know, I don't know that he feels the pressure to like have to like overperform and prove himself all over again. Like we know what this guy's capable of. It's, are the Texans going to do right by whom they drafted so highly 2 years ago in their franchise quarterback and put him, you know, behind a really good, respectable, solid offensive line for years to come? That's what we don't know yet.
Well, you're getting to my bigger point here, but like where I'm going with this is I think the pressure is through the roof on two guys this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trajectory of careers can change for two guys, and that's D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. Like D'Amico Ryans is a great head coach. There's no doubt about it. D'Amico mm-hmm. Ryans is a great defensive mind, one of the best in the game. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Him and Nick have been really good at putting a roster together, with the exception of some of the crap that's gone on really on the offensive line, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Right? D'Amico Ryans has the chance to jump into, hey, it don't matter if I'm offensive or defensive-minded head coach. It don't matter. I'm one of the best head coaches in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if D'Amico Ryans doesn't, if Nick Caley and these guys bomb out, D'Amico Ryans is going to be another really, really good defensive mind that's a good head coach but could never figure out what the hell was going on the offensive side of the football. And I think his trajectory shifts. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't write that ship down the road, but I think this is a big-time year for him. And I think it's a big tip. Like Nick Cayley and the group you're talking about, yes, you are right. There's more like livelihood pressure on those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just talking about like trajectory of careers. C.J. Stroud could make it real easy for them to break him off $60 million per year. And nobody even thinks twice about it. But if he doesn't play well, if he doesn't handle pressure well, then it's going to be, I know we got our guy, but is this a set the market kind of guy? Is this a guy that can go out and win you 12 to 14 games in a regular season? Is he the leader that the greats have been? And to me, it's a make or break year in a sense of making that an easy decision.
We're riding in the same car now.
But to your point, which I think is the bigger point that I was trying to get.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
To here. Nick and D'Amico. Nick Caserio, I'm talking about.
Yep.
And D'Amico Rines. They simply cannot do this to this kid. They can't do what they're doing right now to this kid in a year when the pressure, again, whether you're talking about winning and losing, or you're talking about contract year, you're talking about just staying upright and playing the best brand of football you can at quarterback. Nick and D'Amico simply cannot do this to this kid, what we're looking at right now. This cannot be the answer at the offensive line position. And by the way, the offensive line position right now, what the condition that it's in,
you're
not just one first-round draft pick away from being better.
They're all
you're not. You know it's not, D'Amico. You've got to go get a plug-and-play veteran offensive lineman, particularly on the interior of the offensive line. You've got to get that, and then on top of that, use one of your premium draft picks to get this offensive line right. If you're really going to do right, like if you're going to do what every decision maker in the organization has said since the season was over, we got to fix this offensive line, this pass protection problem, we got to do it from the inside out. If you're going to do that, if you're gonna make the Laramie Tunsil move make sense, uh-huh. if you're gonna do right by C.J. Stroud, this ain't it.
My first thought whenever the Tunsil deal went down is, okay, what'd they get? Like the 2, 3, 4, and a 7, right?
Yes.
2 this year, 2 next year. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That better have been exactly what Nick Caserio thought he was going to get whenever he was searching for weeks, according to reports, to find the right deal that made sense for them. That better be exactly, if not right. a slightly better pick yeah. than what he thought he was going to get in return, because I thought it was a really interesting time to go ahead and make a serious overhaul. Like, again, you don't have one player on that offensive line that you feel fully confident in on where they're even going to play. You might like Titus. You might like what he has as a right tackle, maybe in a little bit what he showed you at left guard this past year, and even 4 years ago whenever he played left tackle before. But you don't know where he's yeah. going to play. And so that is a very curious type of decision that Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans and Nick Cayley and Cole Popovich, I think yeah. all of them had to sign off on this situation to do at this point in
well,
time.
Well, it just, I mean, look, they're the ones that are paid the millions of dollars to figure this kind of stuff out. But I just know right now where this offensive line sits, it's criminal to do that to C.J. Stroud. Right, I mean, it just is. It's that. Forget about the winning and losing and trading Laramie and getting better and this and that and all the comments you've made. It would be criminal to start a season, go to training camp with this offensive line. And I know they're not going to go with this particular offensive line, but I know they're going to make some level of adds. But again, you're a first round pick is not going to make. Even if that first round pick hits and he plays well, you're not going to be better than you were last year.
But who's that first round pick? And who's that TBD? Free agent, or who's that TBD yeah. guy that you need in the trade market? Because if their level of play match your level and most people's level of confidence in this offensive yeah. line right now, mm-hmm. heads might roll.
Yeah.
Maybe one head. I don't know where you feel what you feel about this, but to me, it's not. I know Nick Caserio's done some really good things in the draft, but he's a general manager. And I know DeMeco Ryans has final say, but this is his, architectural design, what he's doing this offseason. If this fails and fails miserably and CJ gets put on his ass 45, 55 times again next year and your offense is and your team is significantly worse because of it, yep. whose fault is that? I mean, yes, D'Amico's culpable. So is Nick Caserio, and so is Nick Cayley, and so is Cole Popovich yeah. to some degree. And at what point, like, if you squander a pivotal third year of this organization and your quarterback, then what's the accountability factor?
Yeah,
that's my question.
I'm just telling you, man, the pressure is through the roof on C.J. Stroud to play well and make strides in the right direction and take this team to the next level. And if he's asked to do it with a subpar offensive line again, I think it would be borderline criminal, man. And this, here's the deal. Nick, as you mentioned, Nick's made some really good moves. It seems like they're overthinking this particular situation. Like, you're going to have that. Like, to me, this is a dire situation where I've mentioned Chicago and how they handled their interior offensive line multiple times. Like, yes, they may have overspent on every guy that they went and got. Mm. They may have overspent draft capital to go get Joe Tooney. I don't know. They may have. But damn it, I know this. Their quarterback ain't going to get the hell beat out of him from guard, center guard this year. Mm-hmm. I know that much. And that is, to me, it's unfair to put C.J. Stroud back out there without at least a significantly better, more aggressive effort of fixing the offensive line. And by the way, the other point, this can't be the wide receiver, the answer at wide receiver, the final answer at wide receiver. Now, this can be, I think, addressed with a first or second round draft pick at the wide receiver position. So less worried about that, more worried about the offensive line. And this is being couched in a way of like, hey, this is on Nick and DeMeco. You run C.J. Stroud back out there with this kind of crap going on, shame on you, man. All right, Aaron Rodgers. There's more. There's a little bit of an update on the Aaron Rodgers front. This is an interesting. As I said yesterday, the different approaches and the different hot takes, if you will, on Aaron Rodgers are interesting. But Diana Rossini is shedding a little bit of light on why the delay for Aaron Rodgers and why he's on the beach with a blankie and somebody's taking a picture in the distance and that kind of thing. I'll tell you what that is next, right here on Sports Radio 610.
Oh. it's 3 o'clock.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.